The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with John Couch, engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. Together, we welcome you to a very wet Tuesday, the 24th of September, 2019. It's Buckmaster on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk anywhere in the world, live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Podcast 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. Live line number for you at 790-2040. Dr. Zach Guido is with us, a very serendipitous guest to have on a day like this. Zach is the Buckmaster Show contributor on climate. Dr. Guido is the program manager and research scientist for the University of Arizona's International Research and Applications Program and research affiliate at the Climate Assessment for the Southwest at the University of Arizona Institute of the Environment. Zach, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Perfect timing to have you on the show today. This is as the National Weather Service terms it, a major weather event. But let's take it even a step further. This may be a very unusual event. And how so would that be, Zach?
Yeah, it is. It is serendipitous to have me on today. Yes. I was actually prepared a couple days ago, prepared to talk about how dry the monsoon was, and now we get this this big event. Yeah, and you know, this is not an uncommon event in the sense that we often receive remnant tropical storms in September and October, and they can deliver quite a bit of rainfall. And I think the unique part of this is we had at one time a Category 1 Hurricane Lorena moving up the Pacific coast, up the Gulf of California, and that's basically the source of moisture of this event. But what happened was there was also this collision with a low pressure system that was moving down from the Pacific Northwest. And we had a lot of moisture being brought in and some atmospheric instability, which collided to bring out quite a wet storm. And it's been pretty bad here, and a lot of rain here in Southeast Arizona. But, you know, Phoenix also got it a little bit earlier yesterday and late last night. Some places got upwards of 4 inches of rain, which is...
Yeah, the rain gauges on the Salt River were like... One of them was over 4 inches. Another unusual thing, you had Lorena, the remnants of Lorena, but just to the west of Lorena was Mario, another named storm. And so both were disintegrating over Mexico, but what's left of these remnants kind of joined together and then hooking up with this low. So that in itself was a very unusual thing. And the numbers that we're going to get out of this storm will go to our strange, as I call it, the strange monsoon of 2019. Strange in the fact that I've been in town, Zach, 31 years, and I think it's probably the least rain-producing summer thunderstorm season that we've had. But this will help boost those numbers, so when it's all said and done, it might turn out to be pretty average.
Yeah, that is true, and I have a hard time talking about this with my colleagues, because it's certainly true that there is a monsoon season, and that season runs from June 15th to
end of September.
Yeah. This event, while we'll pad those seasonal statistics, is not very monsoonal.
No,
in the sense that we had what's typically this sort of shoulder season, as we call it, or transition season event from the Pacific Northwest. So we had westerly flow. We've been under westerly flow for a long time, and we did have that Gulf surge caused by Lorena and as you mentioned, parts of
Mario.
Of Mario. But it'd be hard pressed to call this true monsoonal moisture. That being said, when we look at the aggregate and look at the season, this will certainly help. If you rewind just two days ago, and the picture was different. I mean, we were in a historically dry monsoon season. July and August June, July, and August for Arizona as a total was the driest on record,
according to NOAA. That doesn't surprise me.
You know, the monsoon came in late, and it never could get going. And it was perhaps a frustrating season because there was moisture around, but the atmosphere just wasn't cooperating. At times, it wasn't unstable enough to produce widespread rain. And yeah, Flagstaff, for example, was running at 15% of average. It's up until a couple days ago. This event may double its mm-hmm. monsoon season. Phoenix was at its historically low, just a quarter of an inch, at about, I think, 15 or 20% of its average. Tucson was around 50%. Kitt Peak, at the higher elevations, which tend to get more rain, was running at 5 inches deficit. So,
did you happen to see the Mount Lemmon numbers?
I did not see the Mount Lemmon. I looked for them. Yeah,
to see what that was like. It's worth noting, Zach Guido, that last week 6 named storms. This is 6 tropical events were whirling at once in 3 in the Atlantic basin and 3 in the Eastern Pacific. That hit a record first set in 1992. I don't know if that's ever, I think this then would be the second time that's happened. And then we had that situation in Houston with the remnants of Imelda.
Mm-hmm.
And someone was saying that the Houston area has had 3 500-year flooding events within either 3 or 4 years. I think it would be 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. The tropics now are sort of very, very active, and the Atlantic was less active earlier on in the season. But this is the time. And yeah, it is sort of uncommon to have 3 in each basin firing off. But I think, September and October are sort of the apex of the seasons. And in both those basins, we're already at average in total named storms, total major hurricanes and whatnot. And, you know, we still got a month left. So after a slow start in the Atlantic, the hurricane season has definitely picked up.
Yeah, there's a couple of hurricanes in the Atlantic right now. In fact, actually, I believe the one that hit Puerto Rico in the last 24 hours is a tropical storm. It's the warming of the oceans. I think we're seeing so much tropical activity. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean so this is interesting because recently there was a report put out, a couple peer review papers actually put out by a working group for the World Meteorological Organization that looked at trying to understand the trends in hurricanes, with the implication obviously being, well, what's the human caused climate signal? And there's a lot of active research in this area. And one of the challenging things about hurricanes is you're just dealing with really small sample sizes. So it can be very difficult from a statistical perspective to find the signal from the noise. And what this report concluded more or less was that there has been some detectable changes in the paths of these hurricanes. So they're moving in the Atlantic, they're moving more north, less. The data quality and quantity makes it much harder to talk about the frequency and the severity or the magnitude. So from a statistical perspective, that's sort of one of the ways people approach it. Now, from sort of a mechanistic perspective, as you alluded to, warming oceans are what fuels these hurricanes, and warming temperatures transfer into warming oceans, and there is warmer oceans. And so one might expect that in that kind of a scenario, that there'd be more frequent or larger storms. And that just hasn't come out convincingly yet in the peer review literature yet.
And I think another thing that you and your colleagues are going to be looking at is movement of these storms. We've seen what happened in Houston, where these storms, or what's left of them, park over an area. Now, that happened in the northwest sector of the Bahamas with Hurricane Dorian.
Yeah, that was really interesting.
When someone says, oh my gosh, that's like a hurricane, you think of something moving really fast. But some of these events now have parked over an area and literally no movement.
Yeah,
I mean 1 or 2 miles an hour or no movement
that's
for a considerable In the case of the Bahamas, 12 to 36 hours with no movement.
Yeah, that's, and you're referring to Dorian, which,
yes.
Yeah, that was real unfortunate. The storm itself just slowed down. And you go back to Harvey in Houston, in
three
Texas.
Two or three years ago.
Yeah, and that also had a similar issue where there was other kinds of atmospheric blockages going on that just prevented those storms from actually being able to move through. And yeah, that's part of the climate, the atmosphere is a really complicated environment, and trying to figure out where there is a signal in trends is a difficult thing. I will say also, though, that from a physical standpoint, a warmer atmosphere also enables that atmosphere to hold more moisture, and it's a really well-known relationship. It's nonlinear, and so if the atmosphere is 1 degree Celsius warmer, it can hold 7% more moisture. And so the other idea out there is that when it does rain in a warming atmosphere, it'll rain more. And outside of these hurricanes, looking at severe storms elsewhere, you can kind of see, starting to see trends emerge in extreme events.
All right, Dr. Zach Guido, we will have you on to talk about the late autumn and perhaps your thoughts on the summer or the winter rainy season that will be coming up. Zach, always good to see you. Thank you.
Looking forward to it. Thank you.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by a beautiful portion of the southwestern United States, the southwestern corner of the Land of Enchantment. It's Silver City in New Mexico, just a three-hour drive from Tucson. This is a beautiful time of year as we do the autumn transition. That means the leaves will be turning in the high country. Those beautiful aspens, the golden aspens, and after all this rain clears out, it's going to be a beautiful upcoming weekend in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Starting place, I suggest southwestnewmexico.org. Spell it out. That will have all the places to stay, and there's some really nice places and all sorts of ideas for recreation in Silver City and Grant County. We'll be back in a few moments with Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock-full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
And it's always fun and very informative, loaded with content, to consult with Shelley Fishman. And from the weather, we turn to money. How are you, Shelley?
I am just wonderful today. A little damp, but it's Tuesday, so the market's down. But,
of course.
We're still very close to the highs that we've, you know, been setting. So from the market's perspective right now, we're reacting day to day to, you know, things that appear to grab the news headlines, but no real trends emerging other than that the market keeps on, you know, climbing at a reasonable pace, because there's no reason it shouldn't.
And it's headline oriented. I think we can say that.
Yeah, from day to day, you get these right.
So I think what I'm hearing you say is there's no fundamental change.
Nothing fundamental that is new in the offing, and of course. The biggest headwinds that the market senses right now are the tariffs and some of the trade problems that we're having. And so it clings to every positive or negative piece of news just to react there. But we're not seeing any huge movements.
I wanted to talk a little bit today about what I hear with these ads concerning life insurance. You know, they talk about, Shelley Fishman, something called permanent life insurance policy. What the heck is that?
Okay, so there's two kinds of life insurance. There's what's called term life insurance that you rent from the insurance company. You buy it for 10 years or 20 years or sometimes 30 years. And at the end of that period of time, if you're still alive, it's done. Now, there are variations on all of these things, so I'm going to talk in generalities, but that's insurance that you don't own. You, at the end of the term, which is why it's called term insurance, you give it up. And if the company bet right and you are still alive, all the money that you paid in is gone, and you've been covered for that period of time. That kind of life insurance serves a purpose. For instance, if you're raising a family, mm-hmm. you're worried about tuition, you're worried about if something were to happen to you or if something were to happen to your spouse, you would need a certain amount of money to make up the equivalent of what you would have earned during that period of time.
So you're covered.
So you're covered. And
but as you say, the insurance company, they've got the tables on, you name the age, they're going to see what the chances are, right?
Insurance companies are not nonprofit organizations.
No,
their job is to make sure they understand exactly what the chances are
of you
living or dying during the period of the term, and they win most of the time.
Yep. So then that's term life.
That's term life. Several other kinds of life insurance that are considered permanent life insurance. That is, so long as you continue to pay the prescribed premium, you can have that insurance and keep it in force until you die. Now you say, well, how is that good for the insurance companies? Well, they get to keep a lot of your money on the way, and the general idea there is that insurance can serve several purposes. It can build cash and cash value, and during that period of time, that might be a pretty good conservative part of your portfolio. So there are lots of uses of insurance that are not just to protect your family in case you should die at an early age. That's called permanent life insurance, and this is where I begin to get angry when I watch the television.
Mm.
First of all, whatever kind of insurance you buy, any reputable insurance agent or insurance company today will get competitive prices from several insurance companies to make sure that if, you know, ABC insurance company is charging a different rate than, you know, DEF insurance company is charging, that they can present the best offer to you. That's number one. So all of this, you know, we you know, poll 15 different insurance companies to make sure you get the best. Everybody does that.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless you're working with an agent who is a branded agent who only works for one company, mm-hmm. in which case I would walk. But in which case, what you want to do is then test that person's ability to go get other quotes as well, because very often they can do that. That's one thing that's very important. The other thing with permanent life insurance, you will always get and should always demand something called an illustration. An illustration provides you with basically two things. It says, if economic conditions continue to be what we think they are, here's the most likely case of what you will pay for the rest of your life mm-hmm. and how much cash will build up. Ignore that, Bill. Ignore those pages because they don't mean anything.
Hmm.
The only page that means anything is the guaranteed page, the page that says, regardless of what happens to the economy and interest rates, et cetera, this is what we are guaranteeing you. Now, a disreputable insurance salesman will say, oh, no, the guaranteed page isn't important. Take a look at the typical page. That's not what you should do. I have seen so many clients who thought they were buying a lifetime policy, and then interest rates went way down, and their lifetime policy was essentially going to fail for them, and they had to either pay a lot more or give it up. So there are, you know, the one guideline that is so very important is only go with the guaranteed page on that illustration, and insist that not only the insurance salesperson sign that illustration, but have his or her boss sign it as well.
Good advice. Good,
now,
yeah.
The other thing, and we hear this, two things. We hear this on advertised all the time. The one thing is, you know, what's my price? Oh, $9.95. Well, what's my price? I'm 85 and I have terminal cancer. Oh, $9.95. and, you know, there is such a thing as must issue or guaranteed issue insurance. Mm-hmm. It is the most expensive insurance you can buy.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, an 85-year-old can buy it for a different price than a 70-year-old, but they're buying a lot less mm-hmm. for the same price. And again, it's the most expensive insurance you can buy. You should only even think about guaranteed issue or guaranteed policy like that if there's no other way you can get insurance and you desperately need it.
Who can sell life insurance? Do you have to be licensed?
You do. You have to be licensed by the state, that's the only license you need to sell, well, most kinds of life insurance. There are kinds of life insurance that include investments, and then you also have to be investment licensed. But the regulations are regulated by the state, and the insurance salesperson has no obligation to have your best interests in mind when they quote stuff to you.
Couple of quick things. What's the best policy for you? What are the questions you should ask?
Well, as usual, it's different for each individual.
Right.
And what you should do is probably get several different quotes and also different advice from different insurance agents, because if they're just quoting you for an insurance policy, they're not doing their job. Their real job should really be to find out what you really need. The other thing I wanted to mention, Bill, because we're seeing it advertised all the time, is can you sell a life insurance policy? In other words, if you don't need it anymore, can you sell it? The answer is very often you can.
Hmm.
There are some really weird things about how life insurance gets issued. If I want to buy a life insurance policy, I'm the owner of that policy, I have to have what's called an insurable interest in the person whose life is being insured. It might be my own life, then I clearly have an insurable interest, or a spouse. But I can't take out a life insurance policy on the president because I have no insurable interest there. However, once the policy is issued, all of those rules go away. So if I've got an insurance policy, say $250,000 on my life, it's a permanent policy, I've kept up the premiums, and I don't really need that anymore, or maybe the people I had bought it for, the beneficiaries, don't need it, and somebody offers to buy it from me, under certain circumstances, that might not be a bad idea. For instance, I don't have to pay premiums anymore, mm-hmm. and then when I die, somebody else gets mm-hmm. the money, mm-hmm. but I don't care. Or maybe I split it, and and half that amount would go to the beneficiaries I want, and half that amount would go to the person who buys the policy. There's lots of ways to do business in the insurance world. What I can tell you is that you should never just get one quote or one offer. Always get several offers. Make sure that you're getting something fair for what you've been paying for a long time.
Mm.
You know, the best way to ensure that you're gonna get something fair, of course, is to go to somebody who accepts fiduciary responsibility for their advice. A CFP is always a great place to start. But be wary of people who are selling you products, because the commissions on these products are not bad at all.
All right. Shelley Fishman, Certified Financial Planner. We can find out more about Shelley, and we encourage you, if you have any questions about him, go to buckmastershow.com. There's a direct link to Shelley. Shelley, I hope the rest of your week is a good one.
Thank you, Bill, and stay dry.
There you go. We'll be right back.
CBS News Update. President Trump says he has authorized the release of the unredacted transcript of that call he made to the president of Ukraine, a call that has led to charges he tried to pressure the Ukrainian leader to investigate Joe Biden's son or lose U.S. military aid.
That call was perfect. It couldn't have been nicer. And even the Ukrainian government put out a statement that was a perfect call. There was no pressure put on them whatsoever.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi reportedly will announce a formal impeachment inquiry this afternoon.
What would be an impeachable offense would be that which is proven in an investigation.
CBS's Paula Reed.
The president's legal team, both his personal legal team and the folks working in the White House at the Justice Department, they have not been terribly concerned about any effort to push forward with investigations or impeachment efforts against the White House. Mm-hmm. They believe the polls show that this is not what voters want. Voters want them to spend their time on substantive issues. They do not want the president to be ousted through impeachment.
CBS News.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
The event is waning.
This is Moore Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at SierraTucson.com or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Support for Buckmaster comes from Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It's my go-to place for all of my beautiful plants in the garden. They have a 13-acre site, easy to access there, right off East River Road. The new entrance that they have there will take you to not only to all of these beautiful plants, but to Zocalo Village. Five great shops from Zocalo. All the great merchandise, much of it handcrafted from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Check it out, greenthingsaz.com or zocalovillage.com. Again, 3384 East River Road. Seems like everybody is so angry these days. What the heck is going on? We're going to address that question with Father Robert Hendrickson. Father Hendrickson, the Buckmaster Show contributor on faith and spirituality. Father Robert is the rector at St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church, where I happen to be a member. Father Robert is with us on the live line. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing very well. I don't think there's any question that we are encountering a lot of angry people in our lives these days. We do live in an angry age, but some might say every age has its anger factor. But what's different this time, Father Robert?
Well, I think there are a couple of differences, and one begins with how we all self-select our relationships, like online. Our media consumption is self-selected. In many ways, the ways our neighborhoods are sort of sorting out is that we live next to people who are more and more like us. And so it creates these bubbles whereby which we're constantly being sort of reinforced and never really learn to be in dialogue with someone who disagrees with us or who has a different point of view. And so we don't get to know people as people. So we encounter ideas we don't like, maybe in the news or something. And then it used to be you could kind of remember, my teacher or my neighbor or my friend or the baker or is from the other party, and that's okay. I like them, and I get what they're coming, where they're coming from. And that happens. That's rarer and rarer these days. And so we are all living in sort of these isolated pockets, and it's easier to get angry there. But more importantly, it's easier to begin to dehumanize people whom you don't meet day to day in your normal course of your life.
And when you look at Washington, how it used to be, where people worked what they called across the aisle, going back to, we had a congressman here, Morris K. Udall, who was notoriously a good guy who could work both sides of the aisle that people respected. Those type of players in D.C., they are, it seems to be very rare to find them these days. And I think that has translated into what we're seeing on a day-to-day basis, Father Robert.
Absolutely. And you look at how, you know, there's a combination of gerrymandering and self-sorting and a whole bunch of other things that are happening. But you know, our districts are now more and more extreme. There's no need to move to the middle. There's no need to compromise. In fact, there's a disincentive to common sense solutions because, you know, in many of these districts, if you're running a plus 10 or plus 15 or plus 20 district in either party, you have no incentive to break a logjam. Because if you do, you are penalized for it. And so our media environment, our political structures, all of it seems to be tilting toward encouraging ever kind of more entrenchment and more anger.
How are you suggesting folks step back from that anger level, Father Robert?
You know, the simplest thing, and I've had to do this for myself, right? The simplest thing for me is to ask myself, when I encounter sort of a piece of news or and particularly when it seems like it's condemning someone whom I might disagree with, is this true? I mean, really, like, ask yourself, just pause for a second and say, is this true? Because sometimes you get these news stories that sound so extreme, and it's very tempting to sort of say, well, of course that's true because the other party or the other people I disagree with are horrible people, and of course they would do this kind of terrible thing. And I think we all have to sort of pause and take a deep breath and recognize that there is a massive incentive in the media, among politicians and among others, to keep us angry. And there's a huge, even just a market incentive, for people to be addicted to content that constantly triggers that kind of dopamine hit. And so we've got to be aware for ourselves that we are being sold a bill of goods that is designed to create it, to create anger, because anger makes money for the media institutions and for politicians whom we decide we like because they're mad at the same people we are.
There's another very disturbing trend, Father Robert, and that is a rejoicing in suffering. You've written about this. You have preached about it from the pulpit. What can you say about that, and why is it so really concerning?
Well, and this is where I think it becomes a spiritual and religious issue. I began to notice it on social media, where I saw a friend of mine posting something about how they were just thrilled that farmers who had voted for the president were suffering in various places because they deserved it. So they're losing their homes and their jobs and their livelihood, and of course their kids are losing their future and education and all these things. And then, you know, not very long later, I saw someone else sort of saying, well, you know, the families being separated at the border, they all deserve this because they should have been obeying the law, and these kids deserve to be separated. And I thought, where have we gone that just that ability to say, no, we shouldn't rejoice that a farmer is losing their job and their livelihood. We shouldn't rejoice that a family is being separated. However we encounter the law, or however we encounter public policy, wherever we come to those policies and our opinion about law comes from, it has to begin from a place that we are dealing with people, we're dealing with real human lives. And any step we take toward dehumanization, you know, we have people who were outraged when, you know, Hillary Clinton called Donald Trump supporters, some of them was a basket of deplorables.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the president's son saying that Democrats aren't even human beings, right? Mm. We have to be really cognizant when that kind of language is being used, because it's being used to create a response in us. And that response is to view people who disagree with us or who disagree with people we identify with as no longer human. And when that step is taken in a society, it's hard to step back from that.
Well, when you do take – it really is just a small step removed from deeper dangers, and that's what we really need to be on guard for, and that's what worries me, I'll tell you.
Well, it is worrying, and you see it happening. It's not very many steps away from beginning to institute more punitive policies. And so I saw it. I was in spent a lot of my early ministry in inner city areas, and I would talk to people from outside those areas, and the language they would use around folks who lived in those places was dehumanizing. It was around how they're animals and how they can't control themselves, and this sort of language that really does have echoes of some of the worst periods in our history. And what the language leads to is the ability to impose policies or to create systems of policing and prison that don't take into account the humanity of the people we're encountering and only view them as a problem to be solved or as an issue to be done away with. And it's really profoundly disturbing in a country like ours, where the fundamental humanity of each individual is so deeply embedded in who we are as a country. When that is under assault, that's not about a party or anything else. That is about who are we as a people, and not just as Americans, but who are we just as human beings, and how do we navigate what it means to be human in a complicated world?
And social media has played a huge role in this, right, Father Robert?
Yes. I mean, it is now possible, if you desire it, it is now possible to remain angry 24 hours a day. You just be constantly bombarded with things that make you mad. And most of us are, and many of us are choosing that life, right? How many of us will, we get bombarded on our phone, on our iPad, on our computer screen by all these messages that are constantly designed to fire that little dopamine hit that says, I'm right, I'm right, I'm right. And that has a debilitating effect on our ability to be compassionate, to have empathy. And frankly, compassion and empathy are at the heart of any legitimate social order. I mean, we're not talking about sort of small things here. We're actually talking about what does it mean to participate in a working society. And a working society depends on trust. It depends on compassion. It depends on a desire to see laws ethically enforced. All those things are necessary. But the dehumanization and the constant anger make those things almost impossible to do impartially and to do in a way that gives credit and honor to our ancestors who handed us this country.
Here's a tip for all of our listeners. Think about what you write in on Facebook, on Twitter. If when you write it, go back, look at it, don't send it right away, think about it again, come back maybe even 5 minutes later and say, do I really want that as a permanent record of something I stand for?
Well, and the delete button is your friend. I mean, all of us should befriend it, you know, buy it gifts and have a birthday party for it. And I think that's part of that self-awareness is what I'm writing, saying, doing. Is it going to contribute to a public good? My wife has this little cartoon in her office that shows somebody furiously pounding away on a computer screen, and then the spouse yells from the other room, "It's time to come to bed." And the person typing says, "I can't. Someone's wrong on the internet." I mean, what does it do for our lives
to
argue with strangers on the internet? I mean, it's just useless.
All right, we're going to leave it right there. Father Robert Hendrickson, thank you very much. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, as always. Thank
you. The Buckmaster Contributor on Faith and Spirituality, Father Hendrickson, is rector at St. Philip's in the Hills Episcopal Church. Coming up next, the Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report. Dan Gibson will be getting with us on the live line. I believe he's calling in from Portland, Oregon. That's next.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This week's Arts Report on Buckmaster, sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater. Yanni is coming to town. The Fox welcomes celebrated composer and instrument specialist, instrumentalist, Yanni, on October the 1st in Pure Yanni, Piano and Intimate Conversation. For the first time, Yanni will treat fans to an inside look at his songs, his writing process, and his inspirations. Yanni on October 1st at the Fox. Then October 8th, the Fox is thrilled to present Take Me to the River Live, celebrating the music of New Orleans. Tickets start at just $24 to see three generations of legendary Crescent City talent perform modern New Orleans funk, R&B, soul, and jazz. So lots going on at the Fox, including the fundraiser Chasing Rainbows Gala featuring Leanne Rimes. That's Sunday, October 20th. To find out more, visit foxtucson.com. Let's go now on the live line to visit Tucson's Dan Gibson, who I believe is up in the Rose City of Portland, Oregon. How are you, sir?
I'm great. I just like live the full Portland life. I'm eating barbecue from a food truck and enjoying a craft beer. So, you know, it's full. It's all happening right here in beautiful Portland. So.
Well, from Portland, give us some Tucson activities that pertain to the arts, my friend.
Well, I'm ready for it. Something Theater Company, a relatively new theater group in town, doing a really, really spectacular shows. They have a show called The Revolutionists by Laura Gunderson. It's actually running now, but it runs up to September 29th at the City Center for Collaborative Learning. The tagline for the play is Four Strong Women versus the French Revolution. It's a comedy, and guillotines might be involved, which I will tell
oh,
you
boy.
Is a really crisp, interesting description. I am 100% in for it. Thing I learned from the press release, Lauren Gunderson last year was the second most produced playwright in the United States after William Shakespeare.
So, really?
There you go.
Yeah, wow.
It's apparently a fact. Or they made it up, and I applaud that as well. But you can find more information on Facebook at somethingsomethingtheatercompany.com.
Okay, and the venue again, where is that?
The City Center for Collaborative Learning, which is City High on Pennington downtown.
Okay. What else?
Yeah. Also, everybody loves Tom Philibom. There isn't a human being alive who doesn't. Even though he has retired, his glass gallery still continues on and is doing incredible work. They have an opening reception on October 5th for a show called Fresh Views, which is like a look at international artists working in the glass medium and doing work in sort of the theme is that it's people doing glass work in sort of an innovative way. But you'll see the whole variety of how people work with glass. I always think of glass work as the people blowing the tubes with the oven or whatever, but there's actually flame work, a different type of, like, where you're not blowing it, hot sculpted and carved works that you can see the show starting on October 5th. But more information of that is at philibomglass.com.
Philibom Glass has become, really, it's its own Tucson school of glass making. It's that famous.
It's true. Between that and the Throwing Glass School, there's, you know, really a pretty vibrant glass community here. And the work that you can see here, I think I had a very sort of limited idea of what glass art could be, but what these people are doing with it is truly amazing. It's a medium like any other, right? Like it's like the sculpture, but more fragile.
Are you excited about Yanni coming to town?
What's fascinating about that show is, like, because I think people think of the, like, Yanni live at the Acropolis. I've got some deep Yanni knowledge here that I'm ready to convey, Bill.
Love to hear it.
Actually, like, it's a him and a piano. So it's a really intimate sort of experience, but he also talks about his sort of incredible life, which, you know, as you might imagine, being Yanni, that guy's lived about 20 lives. But so it's like it's a discussion / performance / experience. All under one tent. It is unlike anything you'll ever see. So, I mean, if anybody has even the most, like, limited curiosity about Yanni, it is 100% worth checking out.
It's almost like Yanni Unplugged.
It is. It's very much that. He did shows on Broadway of this ilk, and they were very interestingly reviewed. Because people are like, I thought it was going to be him, like, waving his arms and sort of majestic music, and it's very, like, it's a very intimate show.
Wow.
So congrats to the fine people at the Fox for booking that.
All right, I could take another one or so.
Well, great. I really admire what they're doing at the U of A College of Social and Behavioral Sciences, so I'm going to stretch the very definition of art here.
Okay.
But every Wednesday from September 25th to October 23rd, they have a lecture series at the Loft Cinema called Lifelong Learning Course, Mexican Superheroes, Demons, and Idols. It's a two-hour class with Professor Luis Coronado Gale of the University of Arizona, and he's going to show clips from films, television shows. There'll be some lecturing, some discussion, and just like a whole sort of entering the universe of the luchador and other Mexican superheroes and their place in sort of in Mexican and even Southwest popular culture. It's $135 for the four classes, but there's actually some other things they're doing at the same time. These sort of different classes they're offering. They're sort of a lifelong learning extension of the what the Social Behavioral Sciences College is doing. And you can find more information at communityclassroom.arizona.edu. There's one just about animals, where they're just having lectures at Fox about how animals think.
There's
a variety of things.
I would be fascinated about that.
You should check it out. There's one about llamas, I think.
I'm always wondering what Prissy the Glam Cat, the Buckmaster Cat, and his or her strange brother, Pierre, what they're thinking sometimes. So
that
might help.
Right up your alley. Yeah, you should get on it.
So Portland, is this a Visit Tucson event you're involved with?
It is, yeah. So, we got to go out and meet the journalists and try to convince them to come and write about Tucson. So I'm on my way to the Travel Classics West Conference, which is one of the best writers conferences really in the world. That's in Whistler starting on Thursday.
Love that area.
On my way. I know. I'm gonna go eat Chinese food in Richmond
Vancouver.
As well.
Yep.
So it was a stopover to meet with some journalists just through today, look for some opportunities to tell the great story of Tucson, and then keep heading north. It's the Dan Gibson PR road trip.
You got a real treat. The highway to the sky, they call it, from Vancouver, about an hour and a half drive up along the coast to Whistler. Oh, it's a beautiful area. Especially this time of year, you'll start to see a little bit of the autumn color, and don't forget the wonderful Canadian syrup.
Exactly, which has been the delight that went you were kind enough to give us the maple syrup, and it went through in one serving at our house.
There you go.
But it was a delight.
All right.
We did not skimp.
There you go. Dan Gibson, have fun up in British Columbia, beautiful BC.
Thanks
a lot. Dan Gibson with the Buckmaster Show, Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report. Yes, we were talking about Yanni, and there's a lot to talk about. He's coming October 1st. To the Fox, so that's going to be a great show. To view the full schedule events and purchase tickets to see Pure Yanni, Piano and Intimate Conversation, October 1st. Then there's Take Me to the River Live, Celebrating the Music of New Orleans. That's going to be on October the 8th. Chasing Rainbows, the gala, featuring Leon Rimes. That's October the 20th. Visit foxtucson.com. All the information about all of the great Fox shows. They've got a wonderful lineup for the autumn and winter season, so check it out. Tomorrow on Buckmaster, we'll talk politics with Dr. Ed Ackerley, who is the independent candidate for mayor in the city of Tucson. Dr. Ackerley will be joining us tomorrow. Also, we'll get caught up with Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham. Then on Thursday, a conversation with University of Arizona President Dr. Robbins will be with me in studio on the Buckmaster Show. And that's going to do it for our Tuesday. Please, if you're out and about driving in the rain, take it easy. Things are clearing, I understand, a little bit. But certainly be very careful out there. On behalf of John Couch, my engineer, producer, I'm Bill Buckmaster. The Dave Ramsey Show is coming up next on 10:30, The Voice.